baseball nuts and a big warm welcome to the best seat in the fantasy baseball world. That is, of course, behind home plate. I am actually broadcasting, would you believe, from the sunny climes of Bahrain, but back in the UK. What a great pleasure to welcome.
Very glamorous, Jonathan. I'm very jealous.
Well, I was going to say, mate, you've got the background. I've just got the curtains. I mean, it's maybe a nice hotel, but these are dodgy looking curtains. I can't get the background of work on my laptop, I'm afraid, Jimbo. So apologies to anybody who's actually watching this.
Yeah. So I have the background, but I'm also, I'm coming to you live from the, the shed in the garden in South London whilst Johnny spent the day on the beach. It feels rather unfair, but I hope you're having a good time. And how did the big gig go?
It went very well, thanks, mate. Yeah, the gig was in Dubai for the royal household. The princess was there, the daughter of Bin Rashid Al Maktoum. There you go, his highness, the ruler of Dubai. I think he's prime minister of the UAE. He's a very important man. And they raised, would you believe it, just over $7 million on the night. So everybody seemed pretty happy, buddy. So thank you for asking. And now I'm helping Global Gift Foundation, which is probably my best client, biggest client, just trying to expand their reach throughout the Middle East. They did such a good job in Dubai, and we're now looking at other options. And I'm in Bahrain on the back of that. So hopefully back in about a week's time, buddy, but having a good time in the sun as well.
Excellent. Well, yeah, don't have too good a time, but yes, I look forward.
Well, the good news is we've had some inquiries. In fact, I don't know if you noticed this, but we had an inquiry only today questioning when on earth were we going to be doing our very next podcast. And I'm going to give him a mention. I actually saved him on my photograph, on my camera, would you believe, because he was kind enough to send us. I don't know if you saw this. Did you see this, Jimbo?
Yeah, I'm all over the social media.
You're a social media legend, of course. Yeah, Boston Red. There you go, at Boston Red 8. I don't know if you saw it. When's the next BHP podcast dropping? I must be becoming a fancy baseball addict. So there you go, Boston Reds, and we've turned him into an addict, Jimbo.
I'm not sure. That's normally not a good thing, but for us, that's an excellent thing. Right, go on there, JG. What have we got on today's show?
Well, we've got loads to look forward to, mate. There's loads happening. We're going to do a standings update for first thing because, by Jove, there are certainly a few surprises. And we're going to be looking at which individual players are delivering those surprises. So who's topping the bill in fantasy terms? And then I'm going to put you on the spot, mate. I'm looking for your heroes and zeros. I'm looking for a sense of who you're happy with in the drafting, who you're not so happy with. Pickups off the waiver wire. So just give me a few ideas of your best, your worst, hitting, pitching, and I'll give you a few of mine as well and see if we can compare that to our listeners out there. And by the way, if you are joining us for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. We do want to encourage all our listeners to be a part of the team, part of the family. We've got an email address, which is behindhomeplatepod@gmail.com. And of course, we've got our Twitter handles, which is @BHPpod. But if you want to get in touch with us individually, particularly if you want to ask Jimbo for some advice about your fantasy team, he's been fantastically receptive to that. His Twitter handle is @jam99. Mine's a little bit more straightforward, @JohnnyMGould. Obviously, I won't expect you to be asking me for any tips. That's not what I'm here for, but I would love to hear from you nonetheless. So that's what's on, Jimbo. Loads and loads to look forward to.
Excellent. Sounds good. Wonderful.
And I didn't even mention the suitcase. Which, of course, the suitcase and the Hail Mary, which is, of course, your favourite section of the show.
I don't know why I come on this show, really. Yeah, exactly. The small amount of value I have is already being discounted, but all good.
Right, no, really good.
Let's talk standings, because as you said, it's really interesting. We are a month in, and I don't think the standings, as of the 29th of April, are going to be the same at the end of the season, obviously. But there are some quite interesting teams starting off strong.
Well, we've already referenced the fact that Boston have had a great start, and they're well clear, three clear of the Rays at the moment, with the Yankees 4.5 games back. So that was a great story. Obviously, the Athletics, we were talking about how terribly they started, and I tipped them at the beginning of the season, so I was egg on face, and yet they've had a great run. They've now got a 600 percentage. They're 1.5 games clear of the Astros in the West, and they're topping the table. But I think the big story in the American League, surely the one you want to talk about, is those Royals of Kansas City. 652 at the moment, 15 wins, 8 losses, 2.5 games clear of my tip for the Central, which is the Chicago White Sox. What a great start for the Royals.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, I think baseball has always been quite good at being quite fair in different teams. And indeed, the Royals won the World Series just a few years ago. But they certainly weren't a team that either of us mentioned in terms of our expectations of who was going to win the American League Central. No. But they've started off strong. They've had some really impressive pitching performances. We talked about Danny Duffy and people like that. Quite a lot of the hitting is clicking. And they've got a strong bullpen with some interesting names in there. It's a nicely balanced team. And do I think they'll make the playoffs at the end of the season? I don't know. I would be surprised. But I think it's great for baseball and, you know, really great for Kansas to see them looking so strong. But, yeah, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm loving what they're doing. What amazes me is how good their away form is. 7-3 so far this season, which is fantastic. But you look elsewhere in the American League, obviously Oakland went on that incredible win streak, but they've actually lost their last two. So that one's settled down a little bit. I don't think the West is going to be a runaway league. In fact, I think you'll find that the Mariners, the Angels, they've all done pretty well to start the season off. It's only Rangers that are sort of already losing off the back, 5 games back. That's going to be a very competitive
season for Texas, I think. Absolutely.
Do you not think, though, the biggest surprise so far for me, certainly in the American League, is the Minnesota Twins? 3-48, 8-15 is their record so far. They really are stinking the place up.
Thank you. Yes, they were my tip. Yes, I think it's the World Series.
That's the only reason I mentioned them.
I mean, we talk about a lot of teams who things are going right. They are a team, and, you know, the Yankees are another one we might mention briefly, a team who a lot of things are going wrong. They've really struggled. Kenta Maeda, arguably their ace, has started very poorly, seems to really lost control of several of his pitches, and the hitting starts struggling to come together. So despite, you know, Byron Buxton, arguably, you know, one of the two best players in baseball thus far this season, really struggle to kind of put runs together to win consistently. But I think our lack of pitching has got quite a lot to do with that.
Well, we'll come to that in a moment. You mentioned the Yankees as well. They're still only 4.5 games back. They're 6-4 last 10. They've won the last two. So I anticipate the Yankees by, you know, within a month or so will be very much in the mix in the AL East. So I'm not too worried about that as a team that's obviously tipped up. But in the National League, I want to focus on, first of all, as mutual Braves fans, on the East. And it's almost like a division where no one wants to win it at the moment. I mean, there's two teams with a 500 record, the Phillies and the Braves. Everyone else is sub 500, and there's 1.5 games separating all 5 teams. Jimbo, what on earth is going on in the East?
I think it's early days. The Mets bats have been very, very, very quiet. We saw poor old Jacob DeGrom. We've talked quite a lot again. You know, another phenomenal pitching performance and another 1-0 defeat to go with it. So, you know, really hard for him. And the Braves, again, have started off very strongly. Not very strongly. We talked about potential weakness in pitching. They've had quite a few injuries there. It wasn't for Huascar, you know, coming through and looking really strong. But the bats have been very, very, very quiet. They really have. So finally, last night, we did see a bit of a breakout. I think, was it Ozuna's first ever first home run or his second home run of the season?
That's right.
I think it was last night. So hopefully they'll start to get it going. But, you know, early days still, nobody's running away with the National League East.
Buddy, I'm going to pick up on your point about the Mets and how cold their bats are. I mean, they're pitching. They've only conceded 70 runs this season. That is the best in the major leagues by some margin. 15 runs better than the best American League record, which at the moment is 85 for the Toronto Blue Jays. But even worse than that, okay, as a stat for a team that aren't even hitting 500, is that their runs scored 57, Jimbo. 57 runs is all that New York Mets have scored so far.
How many games are we talking?
In 19 games. So that's what, 20? That's to the average of about 2.5 a game.
Three.
Exactly three, John. Oh, it is exactly three. You're right. You're absolutely right. My maths failing me dismally. But I mean, when you
maths for seven-year-olds with James and Johnny.
Hey, if it was a simultaneous equation, I'd be fine. But hey, of course. The Cincinnati Reds, who are in fourth in the Central, have hit 128. I mean, it's a shocking stat. It's an absolutely shocking stat. But just looking elsewhere, any surprises for you? The Brewers at the top of Central. I can't remember who tipped the Brewers at the beginning. Oh, that was me. The Brewers at the top of the Central. And the two that we expected are sort of at the top of the West. The Dodgers, clearly the best team in baseball. The Padres. But what about the Giants? They're 16-9. They're tied at the top with the all-conquering Los Angeles Dodgers. What is going on in San Francisco? What's in the water?
Well, yeah, I think quite a few more balls being deposited in McCovey Cove, isn't it? That's exactly what's in the water. I think they're a decent team. I think they're starting off really strongly. They've got hot. I really struggle to see a team, you know, with Evan Longoria, Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford. I mean, Buster Posey's been outstanding. It is a veteran. I mean, it's a veteran team. I love some of their pitching. I think Gausman's been outstanding.
We talked about
Desclafani in the suitcase a couple of weeks ago, and you know, another reclamation project being brilliant. Alex Wood now, you know, there are so many pitchers, veteran pitchers are doing well, but I just can't see this train keeping going for the whole of the season. But at the moment, it's great. If you're a Giants fan, it must be brilliant seeing night after night of superb pitching performances from veteran reclamation projects and some people you thought had retired hitting home runs. So yeah, good stuff.
Okay, well, let's focus now on those players that are delivering from a fantasy perspective. And just to let everybody know, we've accessed is Razzball as our source of information. And this is the Razzball Fantasy Baseball Player Rater. And we've been looking at their top 20. Doesn't surprise me to see our boy, Ronald Acuna Jr., has just been absolutely legendary. I think he is the best player in baseball. But there are some surprising names for a month into the season. What about Byron Buxton of Minnesota, rated the second most valuable fantasy player right now? If he could stay healthy, how good could he be?
Oh, huge. So that's the question, isn't it? It's the if he could stay healthy. If he could stay healthy, he'd be challenging the top 10 year after year. I mean, in terms of power, in terms of speed, in terms of talent, amazing highlight reel fielding. He's brilliant. But the chances of Buxton remaining healthy and playing even 120 games in a season seems very remote.
Now, you keep telling me, and this is something you taught me last year when we had lengthy discussions about fantasy baseball, be wary of the DH because it ties up that utility slot. And yet, you look at the first month of this season, you've got JD Martinez in third, you've got Hirtani in fifth, and you've got Nelson Cruz in 11th. So you've got three players, all DHs, in the top 11.
You do, Johnny. They're all doing brilliantly. None of them are on my team.
And none of them are on my team because of what you said.
No, I mean, I do. I do have a... I refuse to pay up. I've Franklin Reyes, actually, who we'll talk about later. I do have one team because he was just very, very cheap. I really struggle from a fantasy point of view. I struggle with players who have only eligibility at designated hitter. Because it clogs up that utility spot. You can't put them anywhere else in your team. So they're not players that I prioritise. That said, the rebound of Martinez is brilliant. Nelson Cruz, how is he still going at, you know, age 42, age 43? When will he run out of gas? And Shohei Ohtani, I mean, actually, I wish he'd retire from pitching and just focus on the hitting. He is so good. He is so powerful. He's so entertaining to watch. Those three guys, Martinez, Ohtani and Cruz, three of the most exciting hitters to watch in baseball. I think that's brilliant. But no, none of them are on my teams.
So who else on the list will you want to look at? Because, I mean, one that certainly I picked up for me is Whit Merrifield, who you and I picked up in our Bat Flips and Nerds Invitational. We weren't 100% sure it was a good decision. By Jove, what a great decision the opening month of the season. He's rated number 6. Justin Turner, who's, what, 38, ranked number 7. Nick Solak at Texas. These are names I'm not expecting to see in the top 10. They're all above Mike Trout, by the way, who's rated number 9, and Jacob deGrom, the only pitcher in this list at number 10.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of pictures just outside, and I think come the end of the season, the pictures will have found their way in, and in the top 30, there's a wealth of our top pictures from Cole to Bieber to Corbin Burns. I think the interesting thing, what you're looking here, is trying to identify what this means. We're a month into the season. There will be other players who will get hot for a month. There'll be other players who get hot for 2 months. There'll be players who emerge in the second half of the season who absolutely deliver. But what we're starting to see is some very interesting stories. So number four on the list, Vlad Guerrero, we've talked about him a lot. I think this is just the start of him being, he is for real, he is a thing, he is a perennial MVP candidate for the next 10 years. So I think that's landing. He's just, everything he's doing is great. All of the underlying stats look incredibly powerful. The other thing I think it starts to do is identify some potential breakouts. So I think Nick Solak, their player you mentioned earlier, is a player who's had talent. I don't think Nick Solak will end up in the top 20 most valuable fantasy players of this year. But what this might mean is he's somebody you could buy in the top 150 in a draft this year. Next year, he's probably going about pick 75 or something. And similarly, the other player I kind of really want to mention here is Jesse Winker. So Jesse Winker isn't somebody we talk a lot about. He's had hot streaks before, so I'm slightly wary of saying this. But it does feel that he's taken his game to another level, and Jesse Winker might become somebody to become a sort of a top 50 pick for future years. There's a lot of power. He's hitting at the top of a Cincinnati lineup who hit a lot of runs. So I'm pretty interested in him.
Jim, I'm really glad you've picked up on Jesse Winker because Rolf, who's in our rookies league, one of the inaugural members of our rookie fantasy league, Rolf actually messaged me only today saying how much he was enjoying the podcast, how much he was enjoying the whole fantasy baseball experience. Now, the first thing he does when he wakes up in the morning is not check out his much beloved Rays, see how they've got on. He's checking out ESPN to see how his team's got on. And he said, I could see why it becomes so addictive. He's got Jesse Winker, and I'm loving this. The reason he's got Jesse Winker was because his wife walked past him during the draft, during our computer snake draft, and he was contemplating, who shall I pick up next? She went, oh, I like that name, Jesse Winker. That makes me laugh. Pick him. And that's the only reason he selected Jesse Winker, was because of the name.
The serendipity of fantasy baseball in one. But while we're on the subject of the league, Johnny, could you just run us through? You were in a hard-fought tussle, were you not, last week? Would you like to name the team of the team,
well, Jimbo,
that you lost to in the head-to-head league last week?
Buddy, you know I'm very busy at the moment. I'm over here in the Middle East, and obviously I've got no idea what happened last week.
Up against the Amazing Puddings, which is one of my favourite baseball team names I've seen. And not only that, Johnny sadly lost out to, I lost as well last week, so it's not irony.
Yeah, but I didn't just lose, mate. I got my proverbial handed to me. I mean,
we were whipped by the Amazing Puddings, which just really made me laugh. It's just anyway. So, an aside, but back to the list. It's interesting to see, and that's what I'm looking for. You know, definitely JD Martinez is back. Vlad Guerrero is here to stay, and potentially players like Solak, like Jesse Winker, are starting to show that they can perform on a slightly higher level as well.
Well, we should mention the Amazing Puddings is the team of Richard Stone. This week, I'm taking on the legendary Tracy Wilkes, the UK Birds with Balls. I'm happy to say she's doing almost as badly as me, not quite. So I've actually got half a chance of being competitive this week. We are enjoying the Rookie League. We do want to do it again in the second half of the season. So we must get a few of our listeners to email in. If you're a genuine rookie, get involved. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But just before we close out this session, I just want to focus on your heroes and zeros from all those many teams. 48 teams that you've got at the moment, Jimbo, running in various leagues, whether it be dynasty leagues, hold and draft and hold leagues, etc. Just pick me out a few. Say your favourite hitter that you drafted, or your favourite hitter that you've picked up on waiver and pitcher, etc. Just a few of them. Give me a few ideas.
So I've got a mixture of teams. A couple of my teams are doing really well, and a couple of my teams are being truly awfully. I'm in a 20 team sort of Yahoo League, and in that I think I've got eight players. It's quite small rosters, and yet I've got eight players on the injured list, which is I'm only managing to put about five people in my lineup each day. It's truly terrible. So zeros for me, Cody Bellinger in that league, injured. It's a nightmare. But I'd say players I'm really happy with that I kind of target pitching wise. Aaron Civale is somebody
amazing.
That I.
Yep.
I really liked, and I've got him in about four leagues and picked him up pretty cheaply in all of them, and he's absolutely delivering. So I'm happy with that, and that's kind of what you look for: somebody you can pick up after the 150th pick, who he's not going to be a top 50 player, but if he can come in as a top 30, top 40 pitcher from where I was able to get him, I'm really happy with that. Nick Solak, I've got in a couple of places as well. I'm quite happy with that. And two other players that I actively targeted in several leagues and are doing well, and we'll come on to the people who aren't. Corey Seager, who, as you know, I'm a huge fan of, and Rhys Hoskins, so I've got in a couple of places. I think we're starting to see that power really come through for real. He's leading the league at the moment in home runs, and I'm hoping that will continue. Do you want to do your good ones, or am I doing my bad ones?
Yeah, no, I'll quickly chuck out. I mean, there aren't many, because as you know, I'm struggling in a lot of my leagues this season. I'm really pleased that I got Vlad in one of my teams, because I very much identified him as being, I thought, a potential MVP. And he's the only one of all those potential MVPs that I targeted that's actually producing. So I'm very happy with the drafting of Vlad Guerrero Jr., ranked fourth at the moment in the fantasy value. From a pitching perspective, I'm loving Ian Anderson. Everyone seems to think he's too young. Last season was a fluke. I think the guy's a superstar. Plus, he's a Brave. Does it get any better than that? I drafted him 156th and already got a couple of wins, 248 ERA, 110 whip, 31 Ks. Got to love that. I mean, that's just great value. So I'm well happy with him. Trevor Rogers is someone that I actually picked up off the waiver wire.
You love Trevor Rogers.
Oh, my God. How good has he been? I mean, you were saying to me you don't anticipate him going much beyond the halfway mark, that they'll start to shut him down. They'll limit his innings. So maybe he's a trade high man around the halfway mark. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think when we get to June, we'll start talking about sell highs, and he would be somebody, absolutely, I would be selling high. I think he's amazing. I think he's one for the future. In a dynasty league, you absolutely want Trevor Rogers. But yeah, I don't think he'll be pitching here in August.
Okay, what about your worst? Tell me some of your worst selections, whether it be draft or waiver.
Yeah, many, as always are. And I think it's clear. I always say this is an art, not a science, fantasy baseball. And A, it is meant to be fun. It doesn't always feel like it. But B, nobody gets them all right. And that's part of the appeal. That's why we come back every year, to try not to make the mistakes we made the year before. So I've got three kind of, I'd say, big names. So the first one, someone I loved, someone I thought was being massively underrated everywhere. I had him in about four leagues, and I've spent a lot of money on him and a lot of high draft picks. And that is Francisco Lindor of the Mets.
Okay.
And he's just started off. I mean, I do think it'll come back. I still think he's a massive buy low candidate. So if you're in a league and you know somebody who wants to get rid of him, I would be all over Lindor. But at the moment, he is killing me in four different leagues. Secondly, I talk a lot about the DH and my lack of love for the DH. And I've got your favourite player of all time, Yordan Alvarez. I've only got him in one league. And it's so annoying. He spent half the season on the IL. He's gone on it again yesterday when he's there. And even last night, you know, he went on it after the time when some of the other players I could have put in that utility spot had already started. So I hate players who are DH only. And at the moment, I'm not enjoying Alvarez's injury list. And pitching-wise, you know, my tip for somebody who I thought was going to be a top five pitcher this year, and is at the moment isn't pitching kind of even the top 105, and that, of course, is Luis Castillo of the Reds. I'm a bit worried, if I'm honest. He's pitching sort of 2 miles an hour slower than he was last year. I hope nothing's up. I hope it's just a bit chilly in Cincinnati and he's waiting for it to warm up, but I'm a bit worried. So those are my three that I'm really, my zeros, Lindor, Alvarez, Luis Castillo.
Well, Jimbo, as you know, I can share your pain because I've got Alvarez everywhere and I've got Castillo in one of my teams, thankfully only. The big pitching disappointment for me is Lucas Giolito. He's just been horrific. 568 ERA, 126 whip, you know, and he's someone I really rate and was great, certainly towards the end of last season. But he's been a shocker so far. From a relief pitching basis, I'm not, as you know, I've struggled this first. I've had loads and loads of injuries across a load of my teams and I've been trying to pick up some relief pitchers off the wire in my sort of save and holds. And I went for Hansel Robles from Twins, who had started really well. No sooner I pick him up, he got absolutely spanked. You know, he was giving up like three runs for one out. And it happened on more than one occasion. I had to drop him almost immediately. So that was a disastrous waiver pick. So I've had some pretty bad ones. I think Teoscar Hernandez is my most disappointing hitter. And of course, someone I drafted and spent, I think, over $20 on. And literally he just hasn't played. I mean, you know, he's just been on, I mean, there's no real explanation either. I think it may have been COVID, or was it? I mean, he still hasn't come back. He's, I think he only played about 4 days or 5 days. It's like he's just taken a freebie. It's like, come on, Tiosca, get off your backside and get to work, because, you know, when you consider what he was doing last season, hitting home runs for fun, buddy.
Yeah.
I think the other big mistake, by the way, before we move on, is that I made the great mistake of thinking that Juan DeFranco, the shortstop prospect with the Rays, was going to get called up. I was hoping it was going to happen around now. Don't think it is. It's looking like, I mean,
no, they've just announced he's going to start the season in AAA, actually. So I think they've announced that today. So.
And probably won't get called up till at least June, and I'm in a league that only goes to June, so that was a disastrous decision. Anyway, let's move it on to my favorite section of the show, and that is, of course, the suitcase. Just as you described to everybody out there, the suitcase, James has to come up with somebody that is less than 20% rostered in all ESPN leagues. So where are you going this week? Just give us a few ideas, big guy.
Right, so who are we packing in the suitcase this week? I complained last week because there wasn't much left on the wire. But actually this week, I think we've got more. I think we've got some nice stuff. So there are two, I would say, exciting prospect call-ups to look, one infield, one outfielder. So both of them have started off pretty quiet, but that doesn't mean that one of them won't hit it off. I don't know which. So Nico Hoerner, second baseman for the Chicago Cubs. They've tried him at leading off. I mean, if that sticks, to find a Cubs leadoff man on the waiver wire would be great. I say he hasn't been hitting amazingly since he started. And similarly, Alex Kirilloff, outfielder for the Minnesota Twins, they've tried him at cleanup, but again, he's had a very slow start. But the talent for both those players, particularly Kirilloff, is a more highly regarded prospect. Both very talented players, and you know, if one of those gets hot, that's a really good value for an everyday player off the waiver wire. And I also want to just talk about from last week, two of them are still there, available. So Luis Urias, Milwaukee, back from injury, still hitting well, still available at third base, second base, and shortstop for Milwaukee. It should be owned in more, or rostered in more leagues. And Austin Slater, one of my favorite players, outfielder of those San Francisco Giants we talked about earlier, still rostered in just 4% of leagues.
And a man who loves to steal a base. I think he's stolen three since you mentioned him last week. So he's certainly providing in one particular area that maybe many people would like to target. So some good shouts there, Jimbo. What about from a pitching perspective?
If you need a pitcher from your suitcase, a couple of starters. I'm not sure either of these are necessarily people you keep all season, but players who I think will be okay for you in the short time. So Spencer Turnbull of Detroit, he is back from injury. He'll be a fairly solid kind of SP4. He was pretty good for parts of 2019. If you pick the right matchups, I think he'll be pretty reliable, get strikeouts, decent ratios. And David Peterson of the aforementioned New York Mets, slightly, again, another back-end starter, but fairly decent peripherals. And likely available in your league. He's not rostered that often. A couple of closers. There seems to be closers available every single week. So Josh Stormont looks like he is the new closer in Kansas City. He's rostered in just 15% of leagues. And Rafael Dolis, I think, unless Jordan Romano really comes back strong, I think at the moment Rafael Dolis is the Toronto closer. He's rostered in just 11% of leagues.
And Romano is back, so there is a question mark there. So that'll be an interesting story to follow. Okay, that's great. From the suitcase, we've closed the suitcase, and now it's time for the Hail Mary, rostered in less than 1% of all ESPN leagues. This is the tough one. And Jimbo, I've got to give you a shout out. Last week, I think I'm right in saying you went with Dom Nunez, the catcher in Colorado. And last week, I could tell you in the last 7 days, he's hit 3 runs, 4 RBIs. So that's got to have helped somebody. So that was a great shout. Loving the Hail Marys as always. What have you got for us this week?
So this week, our Hail Mary is Odubel Herrera, Phillies.
Ooh, blast from the past.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and a naughty, naughty boy, as we know. We should point out to all our listeners, for those that don't know, that I think he started back on Tuesday night, so he's played a couple of times, and that is the first time in 23 months because he suffered an 85-game suspension. Sounds a lot. Well, it was justified because he violated MLB's policy against domestic abuse. So actually very interesting that you should pick this one, Jim, because I was actually looking into this, and he's come back, and I'm grateful to see that he's come back very humble, saying, I understand a lot of people out there are not going to like me, they're going to hate me, and I've just got to work hard and regain their trust, the trust of the fans, the trust of the players, and hopefully also the trust of his partner, because obviously for what he was banned for is pretty damn shocking. Has nothing to do with his ability as a baseball player, but I'm glad that MLB takes a stand in these issues.
Absolutely. No, no, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think it's that's a broader, yeah, from a purely fantasy point of view, he's not hitting particularly well yet, but he could be the center fielder for the rest of the season, and he's probably available in the deepest leagues. But I can fully understand if people have reasons that they don't want to pick him up.
It's an interesting one, you should say, mate, because you could flip the coin. You know, do you pick people up that perhaps you wouldn't go for because you like them? You know, an Akil Baddoo, for instance, or because they play for your team. I certainly have. Down the years, I've made decision based on my love, and that's part of the joy of fantasy. I want a player that I like. I've avoided some players, no matter how good they are, because I think they're, you know, not particularly nice individuals. So yeah, it's an interesting one. I don't know if that affects your, or are you just cold-hearted? You just want to win, so you don't care who's in the lineup. You'll just have murderers and muggers. That's fine as long as they can swing a bat.
I like to have, as you know, one brave in every team. I think that's very important to me at some level. So I think every team I have has a brave in it. There are teams I don't love having Yankees in my teams, but
I'm with you on that one. I've struggled.
But it's quite hard to have winning fantasy teams without Yankees hitters often. Yeah. So is that. As we've said so often, I mean, fantasy has to be fun. And the bit that you talked about, Rolf Savino, saying how he gets up, you know, wakes up, looks at the app, looks at his team. That's what it's all about. So looking forward, having players that you look forward to seeing how they've done the next morning makes it much more interesting to me.
And
so,
you know what the definition of addiction is to fantasy baseball, don't you? I can tell you. It's very simple. It's when you are watching your much-loved Atlanta Braves and the man on the mound for the opposition is in your fantasy team and you're willing him to strike out those Braves and you're willing him to have a perfect game. You want him to go 7 innings, give up 0 runs, and then you want Atlanta to score 19 runs in the last 2 innings to win the game. That is fantasy baseball addiction, where, you know, all loyalty to your team just goes out the window. Within reason.
Yes, you're right. Very, very, very true. Yes.
Okay, buddy. I'm afraid we've run out of time. It's getting very late here in Bahrain. Thank you for making the effort to do this. Yes. Really grateful to you.
Yeah.
We should mention, for anybody out there, if you do want to get in touch, you can email us on behindhomeplatepod@gmail.com. And obviously, if it's just for gaining some advice about what to do, you know, that's what we're here for. Jimbo will be the one giving you the advice. It'll be good advice. It won't be me. You can also get in touch on Twitter @BHPpod, or you can contact me on Twitter @JohnnyMGould, or Jimbo @Jam99. You're in the shed at the moment, Jimbo. So what have you got planned for the rest of the evening?
There might be a little bit of fantasy baseball preparation. There might be a few trade offers going out tonight. And then actually, I've still got the rest of Line of Duty to watch on iPlayer.
Oh, I'm loving it, mate. I'm loving it. You're a legend, buddy. Thank you very much to you, to all our listeners. And don't forget, if you want the best seat in the house when it comes to fantasy baseball, there's only one place: Behind Home Plate. Until next week, take good care and stay safe.